Welcome to Core Macro Observer. I'm your host, and today we're tracking a convergence of three structural forces that are quietly redrawing the risk and opportunity map for financial services. And we're going to start where the most significant institutional signal just fired. In April 2026, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Barclays, JP Morgan Chase, and Deutsche Bank, in partnership with S&P Global, launched the CDX Financials Index, known as FinDex. This is the first credit default swap index explicitly linked to the private credit sector through business development company exposure. And for anyone who's been watching financial market history closely, that launch date should stop you cold. Because S&P Global, then operating as Market, co-created the ABX index approximately 18 months before the subprime mortgage market collapsed in mid-2007. The FinDex is structurally parallel. Tier 1 institutions do not invest the legal, operational, and technical infrastructure required to launch a derivative index for asset classes they assess as fundamentally sound. That multi-year, multi-million dollar coordination effort is a documented institutional judgment. Systemic deterioration in private credit is sufficiently probable to warrant hedging infrastructure at the index level. That is where we open today. Let's build out the full picture of what's happening in private credit, because the FinDex doesn't exist in isolation. The broader fintech pattern here is one of valuation fiction meeting derivative reality. The private credit market has expanded roughly 75 times over 25 years to approximately $3 trillion in assets under management. That growth story is well known. What's less well understood is the default dynamic now embedded within it. Fitch Ratings has reported a 9.2% default rate within its privately monitored portfolio for 2025. To put that in context, the peak default rate during the 2008 financial crisis was 6.5%. We have already surpassed that threshold. And yet direct lending loans are still marked at 98.7 cents on the dollar on average. The gap between those two data points, a 9.2% default reality against near-par valuations, is where systemic risk lives. Building on that, consider the transmission mechanism into regulated banking. U.S. commercial bank loans to non-bank financial intermediaries stand at approximately $1.92 trillion as of March 2026. That figure represents a 65.9% increase since the end of 2024. What that means in plain terms is that regulated banks are financing the shadow lending operations that sit outside their regulatory perimeter. A 10% collateral markdown on that exposure implies $192 billion in potential impairment across the banking system. Morgan Stanley analysts are projecting annual defaults could reach 8% between the second half of 2026 and the first half of 2027. Meanwhile, Blue Owl Capital permanently halted all redemptions after receiving requests equivalent to 21.9% of fund value in a single quarter. These are not tail risks, these are active stress events. And Moody's has just downgraded its outlook on the entire U.S. business development company sector from stable to negative, public market analytical validation aligning precisely with the FinDex infrastructure decision. The Federal Reserve's own policy path is entangled in this. The Fed cut rates 150 basis points between September and December of 2024, partly in response to leveraged borrower distress in private credit. That created a feedback loop. Further deterioration could force additional rate reductions that compress net interest margins across banking while simultaneously relieving cash flow pressure on distressed borrowers. U.S. national debt is now approaching $36.2 trillion, representing 124% of GDP. That sovereign debt constraint limits the Fed's ability to respond with the rate aggression we saw in 2022 and 2023, without triggering the kind of bond volatility Henley Paulson has flagged. The policy toolkit is narrower than the risk environment demands. Now let's shift to the second structural force, because it's arriving through a channel most bank risk frameworks haven't modeled. AI compute scarcity is inflating bank technology budgets at a rate that's creating both cost overrun exposure and unmodeled operational resilience risk simultaneously. Looking at the regulatory landscape, the Federal Reserve's DFAST and CAAR stress testing frameworks do not currently include an explicit scenario combining persistent chipflation with above 4% CPI. That gap is material. Here's what the underlying data shows. DRAM contract prices are projected to rise more than 60% quarter over quarter. NVIDIA advanced AI chip prices rose 48% in just 2 months. Goldman Sachs reports enterprise AI inference costs are approaching 10% of headcount cost for major institutions. Banks operating on 2024 vintage hardware refresh budgets are facing estimated cost overruns of 20 to 40%. Uber's disclosure that its AI coding tools had already maxed out its full 2026 AI budget is a leading indicator of what's hitting enterprise balance sheets broadly. More importantly, there's a resilience gap that examiners will find. Anthropic, one of the primary AI inference providers banks are integrated, reported 98.95% uptime over a 90-day period. Most banking operational resilience frameworks require 99.9% or better. That delta isn't academic. The OCC's third-party risk management framework from June 2023, combined with Federal Reserve SR-11-7 model risk guidance, gives examiners existing supervisory hooks to scrutinize AI inference provider concentration. That exam-ready risk is arriving at the same moment institutions are deepening their AI dependencies.
The semiconductor inflation is feeding into the macro picture as well. Korea's import and export inflation data has been described as explosive, and it's not fully explained by oil prices, given Korea's role as the primary global provider of memory semiconductors through Samsung and SK Hynix. Goldman Sachs has raised its inflation forecast toward a scenario where CPI exceeds 4%. Historical Federal Reserve data confirms S&P 500 returns are materially negative at that threshold. The Shiller Cape and the Buffett Index are both near all-time highs, with performance concentrated in roughly 8 or 9 companies. New Harbor Financial's framework estimates the S&P is trading at approximately 3 times fair value on normalized earnings. The equity market is pricing a soft landing. The credit derivative market is pricing something else. The third structural force is the one creating asymmetric opportunity for institutions positioned to act ahead of lagging government data, and it comes from freight. FreightWave's sonar high-frequency data, which leads Bureau of Labor Statistics and ISM releases by 60 to 90 days, is confirming a U.S. industrial manufacturing inflection that is unlike anything in the dataset's recent history. Rail carloads, excluding coal, are at their strongest March reading since 2008. Chemical rail shipments are at all-time records. Truck tonnage is at 3-year highs. And here's the structural signal that matters most. Freight flow patterns are reversing from coast to center, which is import-driven, to center to coast, which is production-driven. That reversal is happening for the first time in the FreightWaves dataset history going back to 2018.
The demand catalyst stack behind this is structural, not cyclical. AI data center construction is requiring between $500 million and $2 billion in capital per Tier 4 hyperscale facility. 100% bonus depreciation on capital equipment was restored in 2025, from 40% in the prior year, a direct accelerant to manufacturing investment. Department of Defense supplemental appropriations exceeding $200 billion are flowing into defense manufacturing replenishment, and U.S. LNG exports have doubled from 10 billion cubic feet per day in 2022 to 20 billion cubic feet per day currently, as Japan and European buyers redirect energy procurement away from Middle East sources. The broader fintech pattern here is one of geographic concentration creating bankable opportunity. The industrial renaissance is clustering in the Texas Energy Corridor, the Ohio-Indiana-Michigan Manufacturing Belt, and the Arizona-Nevada Data Center Corridor. For Tier 2 institutions with early FedNow and RTP adoption, this is a defensible multi-year C&I lending opportunity. FedNow processes at 45 thousandths per transaction versus 25 cents or more for wire transfers. That cost differential generates deposit float retention and treasury management fee revenue estimated at $5,000 to $50,000 per commercial client annually. Institutions reading this freight signal today, rather than waiting for BLS confirmation 60 to 90 days from now, are positioned to capture $50 to $200 million in incremental C&I loan originations ahead of competitors underwriting on lagging statistics. On the regulatory side, two developments are reshaping the structural plumbing. The CFPB Section 1033 final rule mandates consumer financial data portability with 2026 compliance deadlines for the largest banks. Compliance infrastructure costs run $2 to $5 million per institution for API buildout. Institutions that deferred open banking development face 6 to 12-month delays and 30 to 50% cost premiums based on EU and UK precedent. Meanwhile, the Genius Act, passed by the U.S. Senate in May 2025, mandates stablecoin reserves be backed one-to-one by U.S. Treasury securities or FDIC-insured deposits. Goldman Sachs projects stablecoin market capitalization scaling from approximately $230 billion toward $1 trillion over 5 years. That scaling creates incremental institutional demand for short-duration treasuries that could compress short-duration yields by 10 to 25 basis points, a direct input into bank net interest margin modeling that most institutions haven't yet embedded in their forward projections. On cross-border rails, the competitive pressure is intensifying. SWIFT GPI settles 50% of transactions within 30 minutes, but maintains $25 to $50 per transaction costs. Stablecoin-based cross-border rails are processing at under $1 per transaction, a 25 to 50 times cost reduction. Chainalysis estimates $400 to $600 billion in annual stablecoin commodity settlement volume is already flowing through those rails, creating AML monitoring obligations for U.S. correspondent banks, whether they've built for it or not. So here is the fintech thesis update for today. Three things changed in the industry outlook this cycle. First, the FinDex launch moved private credit systemic risk from a theoretical scenario to an actively hedged institutional position. When the same five banks that dominate global credit derivatives coordinate to build index infrastructure for an asset class, the analytical conclusion is singular. They see the deterioration coming, and they are positioning ahead of it. The ABX parallel is not rhetorical. It is structurally precise, down to S&P Global's co-creation role in both instruments. Second, AI compute scarcity has permanently altered the bank technology budget calculus. The 20 to 40% cost overrun exposure is not a one-year anomaly.
Semiconductor supply constraints are multi-year structural features, and the operational resilience gap between AI provider uptime and banking framework requirements is a regulatory examination waiting to happen. Third, the U.S. industrial freight supercycle is real, it is early, and it is producing bankable signals 60 to 90 days ahead of the statistics most institutions are using for underwriting decisions. The institutions that close that information gap now will originate at a structural advantage. The convergence of these three forces, private credit stress, chipflation, and industrial renaissance, is not a coincidence. It is a synchronized regime shift in the underlying conditions for financial services. Position frameworks accordingly. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow.